When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, what's up? Welcome in, Wes Mitchell, Chris Clark, post-spring game edition of GC Live. Hope y'all are doing well. Hope y'all had a good big Gamecock weekend. We got all kinds of stuff to get to today as we're going to break down pretty much everything we have time to talk about the spring game. And then I tell you, Chris, all of a sudden the recruiting momentum, I think, has started to hit. I would like to think we anticipated it, but I do think we were talking about how, hey, it's hit a little bit later this year. Guys have a little bit different timelines. But I think at this point you can certainly tell, I mean, the list of guys they had in for the spring game, and from what we've been told, pretty much like most, if not all, the guys we were anticipating being there made it in. And they do have some momentum right now they're going to look to carry into May and then, of course, into those June big official visit weekends that will be kind of right around the corner. But I think we'll start with the spring game. Before we get into that, I'm going to tell you about our friend Clint Hammond, Movement Mortgage, ClintHammond.com, 803-771-6933. Again, as we tell you all the time, Clint is your mortgage guy here in Columbia, throughout the state of South Carolina, and then even beyond that as well. Like we always tell you, if you're not in the market for a home, obviously you don't need Clint's services. All we ask is that if you are thinking about buying a home and want to know what that process is like for you, want to know about interest rates, want to know what options you may have, give Clint a chance to earn your business. 803-771-6933. Chris, I'm gonna let you start this where you want, man, because I think there's about five different ways we could take our spring game discussion. What more than anything else caught your attention from the game on Saturday?
Oh man. Well, I almost hate to do it, but don't we have to start with quarterback and Lenora Sellers? We probably do.
Probably.
It makes sense. It is the position that the fans are always most dialed in on. Quarterback's the most important position on the field. So let's start there because, you know, I mean, I wrote about it going in. We talked about it going in. It was our first extended look at Lenora Sellers in a situation like this since he, you know, has that opportunity to get the starting job. Last year we saw, you know, we knew what he did in high school, Wes. We saw the glimpses in the four games that he played last season, being able to run the football, being able to throw the football down the field, the athletic ability, but getting an extended look at him now that he has the opportunity to take the reins. And from what we saw, it's not like he played a ton, wasn't really out there the second half, but he put in a good night's work. And I think Wes did absolutely nothing to slow down the excitement level for the fan base. I think he kind of showed all the different things that are in his bag of tricks. He showed off his skill set and that he was able to break the pocket and buy time. He was able to, you know, escape the pocket and run for a touchdown. He was able to keep his eyes downfield when he was scrambling. You saw all those things. You saw the physical dual threat ability. You saw the high football IQ and his demeanor. And I think he passed that test, Wes, and really checked all the boxes and has Gamecock fans kind of buzzing after his spring game performance.
Yeah, rightfully so. And I think, yeah, checking the boxes, that's a good way to put it. So when you have the upside that Lenora Sellers has, which is apparent, I think, like you don't even have to be a football fan. You just, if you watch any football, you see this kid, you see the size, you see the speed, then you watch him throw, it's pretty obvious what he's capable of. I think that it's a pretty good sign. And frankly, I'm someone who doesn't put a ton of stock in press conference answers, but I go back to what Dow Loggins said about Lenora Sellers earlier this week when he was talking about how consistent he was throughout the spring and basically how he doesn't usually make the same mistakes twice. So generally, I think we as outsiders and media and fans and all that, we look at certain things in players, and a lot of times for us, it's the exciting things like, hey, he's got a big arm. Did you see that sort of razzle-dazzle play? Did you see the excitement he brought? Quarterback coaches and coaches in general, they think about, oh, he's protecting the football. He's getting us in and out of the right plays. He's showing leadership ability. He knows the offense. If I ask him a question in a meeting setting, he knows what the answer is like that. And so given that we already know Sellers is not like a game manager type in terms of just his raw ability, we know the upside is through the roof. For one of the things that Dow Loggins pointed to be like, you know, he had a good, consistent, solid spring. I think that's as good of a sign as any. You know, like if he was saying he did the things we see him, he did some of the things that you all saw last year, but we just need to get more consistency out of him, or he needs to learn the offense a little bit more. Every young player needs to continue to learn the offense more. That's kind of a given, I think. But for a veteran offensive coordinator to point to that, I think is a great sign. And just even the decision-making, he did put one ball in danger, I guess you'd say, but the decision-making in terms of when do I take off running, when do I take off running but keep my eyes downfield, something he did a lot of, and when do I take off running and just, hey, we're getting out of here and getting north and south and getting as much as we can. I thought all the decisions as far as those things went were very promising if you're a South Carolina fan.
Yeah, he's not a game manager, but he can manage the game, you know, because you might say, well, that sounds silly. What do you mean? You know, some guys get the game manager tag slapped on them because they are going to be really good decision makers, take care of the ball. But when it comes to the dynamic plays, maybe they're not as capable of making those. And so people slap the game manager on them because, he's nothing special, but he's not going to get you beat, right?
It's usually kind of an insult.
It's kind of an insult normally. And sometimes it's misapplied. Like, remember people were doing it to Stetson Bennett at Georgia. And it's like, have you watched him actually play quarterback, like, and run around and the stuff he can do? You know, Sellers, you know, but you think about other guys, Wes, they have this incredible ability, but then they do something like Johnny Manziel was probably a great. Now, most of us would take Johnny football in his prime because he was really, really good. But he would do some things where you're like, why did you do that? You know, and then make an incredible play. You know, Sellers, I think he tends to make the right play, which is not typical for a guy at his experience level. As talented as he is, he's still young. He has not started a game at South Carolina as the quarterback. He has not even played a lot of football in meaningful situations, right? I mean, he came in and ran the ball some against Kentucky. He got late game duty at quarterback in some other games, and he showed glimpses of what he can do, which is very exciting. But the experience is a question. But I think when you kind of look at what he did in the spring game, yeah, just one spring game or half of a spring game, a few drives. But you take that and view it through the prism of what have we heard through the rest of the spring? How was he in high school? And this guy's just a cool customer, you know? And so when you combine that with the physical ability, you really like that. You made a good point earlier that quarterbacks, coaches, offensive coordinators, head coaches, they want a guy that's going to make the right play. And Sellers can do special things for you, which is going to come very much in handy when the pocket breaks down or somebody runs a wrong route or whatever it may be. Things that will definitely happen this season to every football team in college football. He can make special plays for you, but he also can just make the right play, the routine play. And he's done that dating back to his high school days as well.
Yeah. And coaches are, I would say by design, a little bit paranoid and just a little bit like to be in control, right? So they want the guy that when they send out there, basically with like a player might as well have their coach's name on their jersey as well, because that player is a representation of that coach. And that coach is going to be tied to that player. Oh, he develops guys well, or oh, he didn't develop that guy. So when they push a they push a guy on the field for that drive, experiencing technical difficulties. I think I'm back now. When they push a guy out there and say, go, it's yours, they want to feel comfortable that that player is going to do what they expect that player to do. And that's why coaches, when a guy is almost a little bit too dynamic but doesn't do the little things correctly, that makes coaches very nervous because they don't know what to expect. And I think with Lenoris so far, and again, we don't want to create expectations that are just unfair. Ultimately, Chris, there will be plays and probably games, drives certainly, where we get reminded, hey, he's a redshirt. He's going to make some freshman mistakes.
Yeah, he is. There are going to be moments this season if he ends up being the guy, which we expect. I feel like we have to say that so much. Should we just skip past that, Wes, and just start maybe just talking in terms of Sellers being the starter? I don't know. We can work that out later. But, you know, if Sellers is in there, man, there's going to be some moments this season where you're like, he's human. You know, because that happens to even the very best guys in college football, the very best quarterbacks out there, when they're playing great competition, especially, which South Carolina will. If you haven't taken a peek at the 2024 schedule, they absolutely will. There's going to be some mistakes that he made. And I think those mistakes, if I had to guess, Wes, will probably be amplified maybe, or there will just be more of them. There will be more of those mistakes earlier in his career than there will be when he's a junior or a senior. He's going to have to go through some of those growing pains on his own. There will be times this year when he's out there and he's going to see a defense that he literally has not seen, right? And so the good news is this. He has the physical ability to get himself out of those, you know, bad spots. Let's say you're out there playing a team and the offensive front just kind of gets overwhelmed and the back misses a block, whatever it is. And now you got a big monster coming at you. Lenore Sellers is big enough, athletic enough, and savvy enough to maybe get himself out of trouble, scramble out of there, pick up some yards, extend the play. And he's also a very, very sharp guy, as we've said. So I think his abilities and his IQ will help him, you know, in those moments to make less mental errors, not as many physical errors. Really, for a young quarterback, you're going to have, especially one of his talent, you're going to have more mental errors. So there will be times when he looks human, when you have to remind yourself, okay, this guy's really, really good, but he is still – there was one of those throws the other night that you mentioned, Wes. Mm-hmm. You kind of go, ooh, let's not do that. And but he doesn't seem to make – I think didn't Loggins say he doesn't really make the same mistake over and over. Doesn't even make it twice. Like, he just learns from it quickly.
Yeah. And we'll close out the Sellers talk because we've just spent the first 14 minutes on him. But I'll say this, man, and we'll transition this to a different subject from the game. He was under pressure, too. Like, all the quarterbacks dealt with some level of pressure from the front. And I just thought he dealt with it better. Like, he just had a – he did not panic whatsoever when there were guys flying around, flying in his face, flying at his feet. Didn't panic at all. Made good decisions for the most part. And I thought it was just – it's one half of spring ball. But it was very positive overall, I think, for Sellers. And yeah, I'm with you, man. He, to me, is he's the guy. Like, I don't know if we have to say the if anymore, even though officially we know that's not the case yet. So, all right, let's talk about the other side of that, the defensive front and the pressure they were able to put on all the quarterbacks. I mean, you could maybe, dude, you could name maybe 5, 6, 7 guys who I thought had pretty good nights in terms of defeating blocks, creating pressure, getting penetration in the running game. I mean, You probably have to start with Dylan Stewart. There's a little bit of kind of the shiny five-star. He's the new guy. But even beyond that, man, I mean, this guy was just super, super disruptive. Was in there making plays against the run as well. Was running to the perimeter to make tackles on wide receiver screens. Showed a little bit of like a bull rush, like strength type rush. We know he's got the speed in his bag. I mean, for a freshman, Chris, total package.
Yeah, man. We were talking about him on the takeover hour on the game earlier today. And I mean, he just, if Sellers checks all the like quarterback boxes, Stewart checks all the defensive boxes that you would look for in a defensive end, because, you know, off the bus, great looking player who can continue to get bigger, continue to get stronger. He has a lot of natural strength already. You can tell, Wes, like, he's not just quick first step. He's not just straight line fast. He doesn't even just have that athleticism of size to speed and the quickness, the twitchiness. Like, he's a powerful guy. He can go speed to power very quickly. And in fact, some of the plays he made the other night weren't even just pass rush plays. They were effort plays, like you pointed out, or they were, you know, knifing inside to get a tackle for loss or a run stop where he's, you know, just about taking the handoff on a play. He's just that twitched up and that powerful. And so a lot of reason to be excited about what we've seen from him. And that's honestly, Wes, you think about it, spring game was Saturday night. The two Saturdays before were scrimmages. And what did you and I both independently hear after those two scrimmages? Man, Dylan Stewart looks pretty good. So this is really 3 weeks in a row in scrimmage situations where you hear positive feedback about him. So, you know, you really think if you add that up, that's going to translate into him being able to make some type of impact in year one for South Carolina. And that's why you try to sign guys like Dylan Stewart.
Yeah, I was down there on the sideline, man. And I tell you what, he looked like he had, for it to be a spring game, he looked like he had something to prove. Like it was not I'm going to go out here and go through the motions for a couple of drives and just kind of, you know, get out of here healthy. It was, I'm here to play, and this is a game. It may not count, but this is a game. This is a chance to compete. And, dude, all those defensive linemen, they were having a blast down there. Gilbert Edmond, you sit there, and we made the comment when he came back that if I'm Shane Beamer, I'm making him sit in the meeting with every guy who's thinking about transferring and being like, hey, the grass isn't always greener. I mean, he looked like he was having the time of his life. He busted out his sack celebration dance, I guess you will.
That was good.
You know, Brian Thomas Jr. was down there making plays. I thought Kyle Kennard looked the part. Inside, Boogie was lobbying for a couple of sacks, so he was back there near the quarterback. Sorry, Boogie, but I think Lenoris got out of there. And or would have been Ashford. I can't remember. Both defensive lines were so good, like Garnett and Black, even just separated. I forget which guy was on which team. Michael Goodwine, dude, for a guy who did not really play much at Alabama, I thought he was incredibly active on Saturday night. Tonka was making plays. I don't remember if I said his name yet or not, but Jules looks the part. All those guys. The depth up front was very much on display. Dez, you could tell, you know, they talked about how he's gained some strength, gained some weight this offseason. To me, he looked much more the part of SEC edge rusher now as opposed when he was coming in, obviously, as just a true freshman last year.
I noticed that, too. To the point, Wes, where I was even, you know, I was up high in the press box, and you're looking down. And, you know, they're kind of – we're way up there, and so sometimes you're not getting a great vantage point. You're going, God, I think that's Dez U on the end, but guy looks a little bit bigger. And you go, well, he just got bigger in the offseason. You know, he looks more physically ready. And so, I mean, you're right. They were able to – this offseason, a couple things happened. Number one, you're able to bring back some key guys. So a guy like Tonka, a guy like Boogie, you know, guys that if they had said, you know what, I'm going to go in the transfer portal, they would have found a home quickly at a big school. Or a guy like Tonka could have said, you know, I may not be a third round pick, or a second round pick, but I'm going to go to the NFL. You know, you get a guy like TJ Sanders who, like, if a guy like TJ Sanders would have gone in the portal, Wes, he might have been the most sought after, one of the most sought after D tackles in the country. You keep him here, you go sign a Dylan Stewart, and then you have a really good year in the transfer portal. You get Gilbert back, you get Kyle Kennard, you go get DeAndre Jules, who was a graduate and a potential NFL guy, according to his former coach at Pitt, Pat Narduzzi. And then you go get Goodwine, who, yeah, was kind of buried on the depth chart at Bama, had not played very much, but certainly knows what big-time football looks like and was a former top 70 recruit out of high school. And so you look out there in the fourth quarter of the spring game, and it's not the Brad Lawing, long snappers playing D-tackle, right? Remember those days? That was funny. But you've got Goodwine and Jules out there working against, walk-ons or third-string guys, and they're predictably having big days. So the depth on the defensive line and really in the front seven when you count the linebackers, similar story. Bring in good freshmen, bring in transfers, return guys. This is what it adds up to. And it's well needed for a defensive unit that's, really looking to improve this year.
Yeah, for sure. And that sort of brings up the next question. I see it being discussed there in the chat a little bit. Is it about the D-line success? Is it about the O-line having a tough day? That's the danger of any scrimmage situation, whether it's a spring game or just practice 11-on-11 or anywhere in between. If it's going well for one side, then you have questions about the other, right? And so I think generally, unless you are just super loaded on the offensive line, unless you have tons of depth, the fact that you're splitting your guys into two full teams, I think is very much a disadvantage for your O-line when you're going up against a D-line that, as we've talked about, there's really a lot of co-starters. Like, there's not a ton of drop-off from one group to the next. And in some cases, you have younger players like a Dylan Stewart who maybe are, second team right now, but just are just as naturally talented, probably more naturally talented than guys that are maybe a little bit older and a little bit more developed in front of them. So I think for the O-line, to me, Chris, I didn't see anything from the group that made me say, oh, man, that O-line is ready to be dominant this year. But I also didn't see anything Saturday night that led me to say, let's push the panic button again either. To me, it kind of remains at the same spot that I had it at coming in, and that's can you find your best five? Who are your best five? What combination gets your best five on the field? And then within that, what's six? Or who is six, I should say. Who is seventh? Who is eighth? And you always hear, especially this level, coaches talk about, can you find eight guys you can trust that can go in there and play well? I think that's a position. There were so many questions last year, man. They were not able to pick their five soon enough and let them gel. And then the injuries screwed that up even more.
Yeah, I feel like that's almost gotten a little bit like a revisionist history, Wes, in which, I think generally people remember, man, there are a lot of injuries on the O-line, but I think even the starting point of remembering, all right, coming in, you already had some questions on the O-line going into the 2023 season, but then you, during the spring game, lose the guy that was going to be your left tackle in Jalen Nichols, and then you're kind of scrambling from there to find a left tackle and a right tackle. You piece it together for the UNC game, and then you, in about four plays, you lose your right tackle who had won the job and had been coming off injury himself already. And so that threw a unit that already had questions into their big questions. And then you give up nine sacks, right? And then the injuries pile up more. So it's a very unstable year. Now, the question is, can South Carolina turn it around and how much? You almost feel better about it by default because they've added in more guys. The injuries are not piled up right now, although if they could get Marky Anderson back and get him healthy, I think that's a key thing that could really help stabilize them. But then how much better you can be. They're not going to go from a unit that was, not very good at all last year to, okay, all of a sudden they're dominant, like you said. Not realistic a jump to me, but can they be a solid group? I didn't see anything Saturday night, like you said, Wes, where you're like, wow, this thing is looks great. But I also, despite, I know what it looked like, I still am not convinced that it's not going to improve. I know I used a double negative there. There's so much more time. There's room for movement. There's room for a Josiah Thompson here in April is going to be different than Josiah Thompson in August. Marquis Anderson continuing to gel, continue to tinker with the lineup. I think the odds of them finding a five this year are certainly better than last year, even before the injuries, I think you could say.
Yeah, no doubt. And my questions, and not questions in terms of like, hey, this is a negative, but my questions in terms of more timeline than anything are the guys that you mentioned as well. Is Josiah Thompson ready to go out there and start, or is he more, hey, we're going to put him in a backup role and let him come along as he sees fit? Is Marquis Anderson healthy? We know if healthy and if back to his old self, he's going to be hard to keep off the field, I think. And so we always talk about domino effect. O-line, especially with some of those guys we're talking about, there would be a huge domino effect to, okay, if one of these spots is now filled, if Josiah is just that good and has a great offseason, you're like, you know what? We're going to roll the dice with this guy. That opens up Tree to maybe jump in there and steal a guard spot. That opens up Tree. Now, it seems like they really like Cason Henry at right tackle. But if Cason Henry were to deal with injuries again, or anybody was to deal with injuries, you would have Tree to potentially play right tackle as well. So I think Josiah being ready could very quickly make you feel pretty good about the depth at offensive tackle. I think, you know what? I thought it was interesting seeing Torricelli Simpkins III playing guard on Saturday. So could Torricelli be a guy that just comes in and is so good that he takes a spot? Like I think, at the very least, from what we hear about Simpkins, he's probably one of your eight. Like, he's one of your guys that's in that rotation,
yeah,
and can go in if needed. I think Kamara Bell is similar. I think he's probably one of your eight. The question is he one of your five? And so there are some things that are yet to be determined. And we'll certainly see what direction those things go.
Wes, did we... So I need to go back and look at this again. Did we see Kamara Bell snapping the ball on Saturday night? Did I see that, or was he at a guard spot?
He at a guard spot in the game, but he also could have – I'm not saying he wasn't. Matter of fact, I think I saw him snapping a few to Dante on the sideline when Dante was warming up to go in.
I'm pretty – you know, because Kamara has been working at guard – the only times that we saw him in practice leading up to the spring game, he was always playing guard, and sometimes a lot of times with the ones, right? But I swear the other night I looked in there and I was like, wow, Kamara Bell's playing center in the game. But I need to go back and double check that. But he's certainly one of those guys that could.
Travis says yes in the fourth that he saw Kamara.
I should have known we could count on Travis. Thank you, Travis.
Yeah, so lots of moving pieces. And I think, Chris, that's good until it's not. Like, I like that you have options, but then at some point I think it's about locking in there and who's playing where, and let's let them get as many reps as they possibly can at those spots.
Yeah, I agree. And you make a great point in that, you know, there are certain moves on the O-line that, if this happens, that could happen. You know, Josiah being ready could. Marquis Anderson, you know, if he gets back healthy, he's full go. Remember all the buzz we heard about him last year, Wes, and he didn't end up being able to play. You know, what position moves does that spur? Who, you know, does Simpkins end up pushing, or even like a Kamara Bell? If the staff, I mean, maybe they sit down and review the spring game and say, man, we might need to give Kamara more of a look at center. Then you can move Vershawn Lee out somewhere potentially. So there's still so many moving pieces here. I'm not even ruling out, Wes, the staff may continue looking for some depth in the transfer portal as well at offensive line, particularly at tackle, if you could find one. So there are still moves to potentially be made here. So I don't think the story is written on the offensive line just yet.
Yeah, and Beamer has said their receiver and O-line are the two spots that they are going to pursue. Their numbers are better than they were, I think, in terms of guys who could help. But their numbers are a little bit worse, I feel like, in terms of actual total bodies. They're, I think we counted, what, 15? Or Beamer said 15? I know that number was out there. You really typically have about 17 or 18 on a roster on the offensive line. So overall numbers there, they are a little bit short. Even some of that, guys, goes into practice and just being able to split up the way you want. And, of course, can you put together – a scout team. Now, you know, you involve walk-ons and stuff like that in that as well. So they'll figure it out. But it does seem like if the right guy is out there, they may want to add one more depth piece there on the O-line. All right, before we move forward, we're at about the halfway point. So we're going to tell you about our friend Andy at My Perfect Franchise. Go check out myperfectfranchise.net, 404-973-9901. You can also email Andy@myperfectfranchise.net. You may be saying, Wes, what does My Perfect Franchise mean? Well, what My Perfect Franchise does and what Andy does is he is a franchise consultant. And what that means is he helps people like you find franchises that fit your skill set, your financial requirement, your time to commit, and more. And because franchises are also looking for people who fit what they're looking for, his services are 100% free. He's here to help you if you have any questions about business ownership because he is a business owner himself. So if you're ready to leave the corporate rat race or if you just want a side hustle that you can sort of work towards while also still staying in your current job, Andy can help you with just that. 404-973-9901. All right, we got to talk some recruiting at some point. At the same time, Chris, I know we're missing people on – the spring game that we haven't talked about yet. We haven't talked about the offense. There were a couple of questions about not throwing the ball down the field. We haven't talked about the receivers. We haven't talked about the running backs. We haven't talked about the linebackers running around. I'll lump that into the D-line. Whole front six. Thumbs up, I think. And I'm not ending this show without talking about Mekari Swain because
I agree.
It's our show, and we can do what we want. So who out of that group do you want to talk about next?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's a lot. So let's talk about Swain since you just mentioned him. What a play that was. So interesting, you know, I know you played this up, rightfully so, where when USC put out that social media clip kind of teasing that we'd see a little Mekari Swain on offense maybe, and, you know, they tried to go to him on a trick play. He was the first guy up when they did. They didn't do a live punt return. They basically just snapped the ball, punted the ball, and had a returner back there. But Mekari Swain was the first guy up in the spring game. So that's interesting.
For his team.
We know he's been drawing a look there, and we know that he's a heck of an athlete. And then, you know, that other corner spot, Wes, opposite OD Fortune, you know, yeah, you probably still give the edge to Judge Collier, but Emory Floyd's battling, Mekari Swain's battling, Jalewis Solomon gets here this summer. But Swain, man, I think the more you see, the more you hear, he's going to end up being one of those guys where it's like you probably got to find a role of some sort for this guy.
I mean, I like how you said that. And I teased the Twitter, you know, hey, Mekari Swain might play some receiver, but we saw one snap on a trick play, so it wasn't quite what I was hoping or teasing when I said that. However, Chris, I think that still has to be – he played a ton at corner. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like he was watching the game from the sideline at corner. He played a ton of corner on Saturday and played well beyond just the pick. The pick was great, shows his upside. I want guys who lock down and play coverage, right? And that doesn't always mean you're making interceptions. That just means most of the time we don't even hear about you. And to me, he looked the part of some of those. I don't know if he's gained some muscle in the offseason too, But he looked the part of these NFL guys athletically that we have seen South Carolina put in the league over the years at the cornerback position. So if he's not going to be the guy at corner, I think if I'm Mike Furry, I'm like, all right, guys, what do I have to do to get this guy in my room?
Like, are you going to use him or not? Because we're not going to, you know, have him sitting there.
We're talking about receivers and portal and needing receivers and all this. We're going to go right across the hall and steal Vakari from that room and put him in this one because athletically – and Chris, he was having a blast out there, man. Like, he was running around. He was – you know, I'm sure last year was probably tough for a guy who's used to playing offense, special teams, and defense to then just not play. And so he was having a blast. He had some sort of swagger to him, was jumping around, was talking a little bit. I mean, to me, you find a role for this guy. And that could really be either side, I think. But Judge Collier was out, little nagging injury. So we got to see a ton of Vakari. We got to see a ton of Emory Floyd. And, you know, I thought those guys played well. Now that goes back to, all right, are you getting separation, you know, from the receivers? There's a reason they're going in the portal for more receivers. There were not many balls thrown down the field, Chris. Some of that is they were going to be vanilla. They said that on offense. They proclaimed that ahead of time. There were a couple of times, Chris, they tried to get the ball down the field, and the protection just did not hold up.
Yeah, the protection didn't hold up several times. There were also some where you did have a little time, you know, and it was covered up. And so they ended up, you know, checking it down, sellers, you know, maybe buy a little bit of time. So, yeah, I mean, we saw they did take a shot early in the game. I think it was to Brady Hunt with Jalen Kilgore in coverage. Just a little bit, you know, tight coverage, a little bit overthrown. You know, so, yeah, not a lot of deep shots, but we knew going into the game. I mean, nobody was sitting there going, yeah, I think they're going to just be chucking it up and down the field. We didn't think we were going to see that anyway.
Would have been fun, though, Chris.
Yeah, it would have been fun. There's no doubt about it.
Did any of the receivers – I feel like the receivers didn't get a ton of chances to even show what they're capable of. Like, you know, we heard a lot about Gage throughout the spring. He obviously, I would say, probably had the best spring. But and going back, Chris, you jogged my memory on something. I heard, not that this is a surprise, this is something we've heard for weeks now, but it was reiterated to me over the weekend that Jalewis Solomon is somebody they like that. When Beamer mentioned Solomon in the press conference as being someone who could come in and compete at that cornerback spot, that was not just a throwaway line. Like they legitimately believe in this guy and think that he's capable of helping. Not start, I don't think he'd be expected to do that, but they certainly expect him to come in and potentially make an impact at corner. So does that maybe affect your thinking on a Vakari Swain as well? Quantrell knows. I'm glad you said that, dude. Tyshawn Russell, forgotten man all spring at receiver. I thought he appeared to be one of the more sort of athletic, twitchy, there's our word again. He seemed like a difference maker potentially at receiver if he can consistently do it.
Yeah, I think you made a good point earlier when you know, hey, did we have the ability to get a full read on these guys from Saturday night? The answer in a spring game is almost a blanket answer of no, not fully, right? Because you're not playing a full game against a different opponent that's comparable. You know, you're mixing and matching teams, and then you're in the third and fourth quarter, and you have a lot of backups, and you have walk-ons. And so you're not going to ever get a full read from just one spring game. Now, you can take what you've seen and heard throughout the rest of the spring as well, and you can kind of, well, you know what guys are from what they were in the past. You know, Russell showed some signs last season, Wes. He obviously had some inconsistencies. But this is a guy that can run. He is fluid. He is athletic. And I thought he made, you know, he showed that on Saturday night as well. So I agree. A little bit of a forgotten man because you've got the three transfer receivers. You got Mazio Bennett in there who had a nice night. DeBron Gatling is a freshman. The looming possibility of bringing in another guy from the transfer portal or two, which I think will eventually happen. But we probably shouldn't forget Tyshawn Russell in that mix either.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's always about consistency, I think. And I think sometimes for a young player, Chris, it's about confidence. I can't say I know this for a fact, but it felt like his confidence wavered a little bit as the year went on last year after he had a couple of drops. So, like anything, though, you build that back up, and confidence just means so much for young players, I think. So we'll see if he can build off that spring game and have a really good summer and do everything he needs to do going into the season. I mean, guys, there are so many people we could talk about from the game. We've hit on several of them. I'm sure we're forgetting somebody, but I want to talk about recruiting before we run out of time because, frankly, the momentum has started. And, Chris, how about this latest news from Steve Wiltfong? And interestingly enough, you and I were kind of trying to ask around a little bit on some of the big name guys that were at the game. And Jared Smith is someone that South Carolina has quietly been right there with. And now for the first time since he's been at On Three, we get to experience a Fong bomb for a South Carolina target. With him putting in a prediction for Jared Smith, the high four-star edge to South Carolina.
It feels a lot better, Wes, to be on the same team when the Fong bomb is dispensed because you just get to – we're on the same team. We don't have to go run down, you know, the Fong bomb. But Steve does a great job. And, you know, this has been talked about, Wes. I think you made this point. So take credit if so. If not, tell me who did say it, but because I honestly can't remember. But it's been kind of a question lately. Is Jared Smith this year's Dylan Stewart? You know, a guy that people on the outside, you know, that's a top 50 kid. He's a big timer. Let me look at his offer list. Well, you know, Georgia wants him and Bama and Ole Miss and all these schools. You know, he won't go to South Carolina. They're kind of a courtesy inclusion. Then you go, okay, well, gosh, he's visiting there earlier this year and he's visiting there for the spring game and now he's got an official visit booked. And then the feedback you hear, and it's like, no, they have a real shot with Jared Smith. And the feedback that I know you and I have both gotten has been very positive. This thing's not over. I think one of the things about the old Fong bomb, Wes, is people maybe sometimes take that as, okay, he's going to make a decision tomorrow. Mm-hmm. There aren't really any indications that's going to happen here. He does still have a summer official visit slate scheduled, and he's still going to schools like Georgia, and he's going to take one to South Carolina. So let's see where this one goes. But, man, Sterling Lucas, Gamecocks defensive ends coach, has done a phenomenal job here for sure.
Hey, don't mess with Sterling Lucas, man. He will get in a big boy recruiting battle in a second and go head to head. I mean, who's who list right there as far as the offers for Jared. But I was not the one who initially coined that idea of could he be this year's Dylan Stewart or this year's Nick Harbor. That was actually Wiltfong in one of his first videos since he came on. And I saw it, and I relayed it.
Is there you
where
go.
You heard
That's
it.
It.
I relayed it to the people. But he was asked about Elijah Griffin. Like, could Elijah Griffin be this year's, whatever? And he said, maybe not, but it could be Jared Smith. And so that was actually weeks ago. So I think he has quietly been here in South Carolina for a little while here too. Again, we got to see how this thing plays out. Official visits are always huge. Nowhere near over. But it's fun to talk about if you're a Gamecock fan. And another guy, I don't know if I put him in the same category, but I maybe would, Chris, at this point. Maybe not quite. Zayden Walker, the five-star linebacker, he made it in. He's been on campus, what is this, 2 weekends in a row, Chris?
2 weekends in a row.
We know, you know, Julius Solomon is his brother. We know that South Carolina has been heavily involved here for quite some time, pulling out all the stops on him. And we also know that Georgia is involved, and Georgia chasing linebackers, you never can count them out ever, ever, ever. But I would say fresh off those 2 weekends, there are some positive. Like if I looked on Twitter right now and they were like, Wilt Fong put a prediction for South Carolina with Zayden Walker, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that right now.
Definitely buy it. Yeah. I view them actually, Wes. So I will go a little bit farther maybe than you. And to be clear, I haven't issued a prediction myself on Smith or Walker. Not ready to do that yet.
You should put one in for Walker and just see what
blow it
see
up.
The reaction.
I agree. But I will actually say that I kind of put those two on par right now as far as South Carolina's chances. I think with Smith, the field may be a little bit more open, whereas Zayden Walker, I think it's narrowed. Like, he is very likely going to one of two schools. He's probably either going to go to Georgia or South Carolina. And the Gamecocks have a very, very real shot, and there are many reasons for that. I mean, this visit this past weekend was probably, what, about his 11th or 12th, Wes, to campus. He does have another official set up. His brother's about to play for South Carolina starting this summer when he enrolls. There's a lot of things to like about where South Carolina's at. Now, on the other side, you do have Kirby Smart in Georgia, and they are obviously a great program. They're animals on the recruiting trail. So they're recruiting Jared Smith too. So these will not be easy acquisitions, but the exciting thing is you look at one or both of those guys and South Carolina has a legitimate shot to ultimately get one or both. So fun times when you think about that.
Yeah. Can Gamecock fans officially dream of the thought of both? I mean,
yeah, I think so. You can dream about it.
That to your front seven. And, I mean, wow, that's impressive. And the reason I'm a little bit hesitant is, and I had that thought too of just, what if I just put in a prediction for Zayden Walker and just to see what everybody says. But I think with him, I think the information right now points coming off those two visits. South Carolina does and should feel pretty good. I just think once it settles back down, you got to, it's yes. Like, it's Georgia.
Same, you know, with Jared Smith, right? To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And so, others with Jared.
We'll see. We'll see. And Travis making a good point here. His second official visit since he came in with G. Lewis last year. So, like, you know, they were able to kind of – they've been able – to, I don't want to say take advantage, but they've been able to use that to the best of their ability in terms of, hey, there's a family member coming here. Let's get Zayden on campus a lot. There's a familiarity with the family there. And I think all those things speak very much. Chris, you want to share with the class? I see you laughing.
I was trying to find something when we were talking, and I just ran across your tweet. You got your own Twitter at wrong. It's been that long of a weekend and a day already.
I guess
that's funny. I don't know. Yeah. Why. It just made me laugh the way you said it too. I don't know.
For those who don't know, most of the time, if there's something on the Gamecock Central Twitter, I'm the one behind that. So there's a mistake on there. It's usually me. And yeah, I wrote a tweet about me and Chris talking about the show, and I put the wrong Twitter at.
Nice. So,
anyway, I have always wanted that at Wes Mitchell.
Yeah. Wasn't it like a hockey player or something?
There was some writer. No, I mean, like,
I think I had a hockey player, actually. There's a Chris Clark hockey player. Yeah.
Yeah. I've like offered to buy the thing from the guy a long time ago, and he said no. So,
not giving
anyway. I did.
All right. I got that weight. Yeah. Woo. All right.
All right. David Sanders. That's another intriguing one.
Big Dave.
Big Dave. Number one offensive tackle in the country. And, man, there's a lot to talk about here, I think. We'll try to condense it. And the weekend, for those who haven't seen, we did talk to David. The weekend went very well for South Carolina. You know, they, according to David, according to people around him, they really, being his first official visit, like, they set a high standard for everybody else. Chris, you made a comment, just you and me talking, that you felt like before the visit, maybe people should be talking about Tennessee more, basically. There's still this comment, and I'm seeing it in the comments right now. There's this common thought that, like, Clemson has some massive lead here. And I had people hit me on Twitter after our story ran, talking about, oh, yeah, he's a lock for Clemson. I think you were ahead of me on this, but I think I'm with you now. Based on what we heard over the weekend, if there is an early leader, I don't think it's South Carolina necessarily either. I think they're in it. I think they're going to be in it till the end, but it might be a different orange team as opposed to Clemson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And from what I picked up today as well, Wes, the thought is that Clemson is behind from some people that I trust. Now maybe Clemson is still ahead of South Carolina even. That could be possible. But Clemson is not viewed as being in pole position at this point. Have they led in the past? I actually think so. I think Georgia's probably taken a lead in the past at some point. Wes, I think early in this recruitment, South Carolina was in a good spot at one point. So this has taken the shape of what a lot of big boy recruiting battles, what happens with a lot of them is that it changes, you know, and ultimately he'll sign with one program. But there's sometimes this misconception in recruiting of like, well, that guy, you know, if he hadn't committed to us by now, he's not going to commit to us. Or why is he going to visit other schools? He would just come here. Well, it's a hard decision, you know, a lot of times. And so for Sanders, we've seen that leaderboard change a little bit. For the most part, has still been a lot of the same schools. He's going to Clemson this summer. That's his second official visit at the end of May. He's going to Georgia. He's going to Tennessee. He's going to Bama. Ohio State's been in the mix. I think they're too far, Wes. But Tennessee is one where, and I think I'm not the only one to say this or notice, but, you know, one visit to Tennessee this spring, you're like, okay. He takes another one, like back-to-back weekends, a little bit more eye-opening, right? Then he's got the official there this summer as well. So I think the Vols are a pretty big factor. I think Clemson slipped some. That they may regain that at the end of May. They may jump right back up there. But I also think, and I'll let you talk more on this because you got more insight than me on this part, but I think the Gamecocks helped their cause with David Sanders this weekend a little bit.
No, they did, and I think they made him feel like he's the best player in the country. Like he left feeling like I am their priority. Like I am the guy they want. And I think Cam and Josiah did a fantastic job hosting him this weekend. And I didn't just talk to David, talking to some other people. I really got the impression that this family is going through the recruiting process. Like they had the whole family there and, What I mean by that is they're not going through the motions right now. Like, oh, we're just going to take some visits. Like they are truly going through the process with an open mind. They want to hear what every school has to say, what every school has in store for their son. And then they're going to make a decision after all this. And I don't think it's going to venture out at all from those six schools. Like Chris said, you know, could Ohio State be the pick? I think that's maybe a little bit far-fetched. I do think it's a fairly tight-knit family, so just being able to get to games easily and get back and forth, like location could be a factor here. And, you know, I just think ultimately what stood out to him about South Carolina from my conversations with him were two things. One, just the opportunity, like, hey, you can come in and you can potentially play as a true freshman. And two, just kind of he used the word we heard, I think Beamer and maybe Pete Limbo talk about this before, Chris. He used the word holistic, talking about South Carolina's approach to him and like treating him like a person, building the relationship, not just as a football player, but wanting to be able to develop him off the field as well. And he thought that South Carolina's coaches are just very genuine with him. He said Lonnie Teasley is one of the best O-line coaches in the country. Like, South Carolina has a lot going for them with David Sanders that I think people have maybe just seen old predictions for Clemson and seen that he grew up wanting to play for Clemson. That was kind of his, as a child, dream school. And they've just maybe written this off. I think that this is a marathon for David Sanders. And I think South Carolina approached it like that. Like they pulled out all the stops this weekend, but nobody in Columbia thought they were going to get a commitment from David Sanders this weekend. He's going to go through the process. And I think it will be very interesting to see, can South Carolina, amidst all those official visit weekends and that busy summer, can they get David Sanders back to Columbia for a camp day, a cookout day, whatever, you know how they have all those different days in the summer. Can you get him and the family back down I-77 one more time amidst all those other OVs?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think that would be huge. And if that happens, what, you know, if the summer happens, if he goes Clemson May 31st, and then Tennessee, Georgia, Bama, and then you really don't hear a lot after that. If Wilt Fong or our guy Chad Simmons are writing their scoop pieces for On Three, and you don't see mentions of South Carolina or him maybe going back, then you can go, ooh, man, that not too great. But if they hang on and take the marathon approach, which they'll take that approach, and if they can get him back this summer, I think they've kind of jumped a little bit more back in this race, Wes. Like, honestly, we'll be honest, I felt like he was a little more of a long shot category going into this weekend. Coming out, I don't think South Carolina leads, but I think they're more in it than they were. And I think the race itself is a little bit more open than maybe I thought at first. So definitely one that we'll be keeping our eye on, I think, a little bit more than we were.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they should sign another strong O-line class, even if they aren't able to land David. But David would be the one that sort of potentially makes it a elite, like another just top in the country O-line class, I think, which they've had two of the better ones the last couple of years. Oh, man, Chris, we're like out of time, but we have not talked about Shamari Earls.
Yep.
Or Caleb Williams. So do you have somewhere you got to be right now?
Let's do it. No, let's.
All right. Let's at least hit on their commitments, and we're at the end of the show, and we haven't even talked about them yet. So, Shamari Earls, 4-star defensive back. This is another one, Chris, that South Carolina was just quietly in the pole position for a long time, actually, with Shamari. And another, it's a little bit sort of like a Vakari Swain, a Jalen Kilgore, in that he is a multifaceted athlete, excels at receiver, excels at DB, special teams, track. Like, he kind of is just one of those guys that is involved in everything, which I think is what you like. That's what you want. And a top 10 cornerback in the country. So you start to look at how the fabric of this secondary class is being built. And you look at, you already have DeMarcus Leach. You feel good about Kendall Daniels, and you add Shamari Earls, you got Jonte Gilbert out there, you got several other guys that they're after. They can be a little bit more selective down the stretch, I think. But to go into Virginia and get a top 10 cornerback in the country, a 4-star guy, beat out some major schools, some blue bloods in the process, beat out the in-states in Virginia again, this is a really, really nice, impressive pickup for South Carolina.
Well, and the guy, I mean, take a look at the guys you just mentioned, Wes, as they're building out this DB class, some serious size, right, in this class. When you look at, you know, Leach is listed at, what, 6'3". Kendall Daniels, I've seen him in person. They're in good shape for him. He's 6'3". And then you got Earls, who's also a long guy. And, yeah, you turn on his film, Wes. He's out there playing receiver, making guys miss in the open field, outrunning people. He's playing special teams. He's playing DB. And so we kind of know the profile that, you know, Torian Gray looks for. He does love guys that can, you know, that are multi-tool, multifaceted players. It seems like he feels like those guys turn out to be really good DBs. He look at a lot of the guys he's recruited. There's usually length there. There's usually size. And he's had success with a lot of those type guys in the past. So this guy's got good film. They're heating up in Virginia. They've now got, what, two commitments from there. They got a chance to get a third in Kendall Daniels, and there are others on the board as well from that state.
Dude, I mean, the Palmetto State has just raided the old Dominion State. I mean, Clemson, if you look at the On3 industry ranking, I mean, Clemson has the top two, I think. And so for South Carolina, if you were to add in Kendall, you now have three of the top 10 in the state. Clemson has two of the top 10. And South Carolina, I still believe, is probably the leader for Jalen Gilchrist as well. So you look at South Carolina could have four of the top 10 from Virginia. And South Carolina and Clemson could have a combined six of the top 10 from the state of Virginia. So, I mean, talk about just taking over a state. And we knew the DMV was going to be a high priority target area for South Carolina, but we're seeing that extended into like the entire state of Virginia to an extent, and lots of success up there for South Carolina, and kind of taking advantage of UVA and Virginia Tech at this point, not being, I would say great programs at this exact time. And all right. So again, another Virginia guy, Caleb Williams. I know you're a little bit more dialed in on this one than I am, Chris. What type of player is South Carolina getting at what, frankly, has kind of become a position of need when you look at how upperclassmen focused the depth chart is for South Carolina on their current team? I think they're going to have to go portal searching again this next offseason at D-line. But to me, important to add 2-3 freshmen in this crop, in this cycle, and they do that here to start with Caleb Williams.
Yeah, this is an intriguing kid because, I've seen this guy in person, Wes. He's 6'6", 260, 250 or so. So there's a big frame and there's room to grow. I mean, there's room to put on a lot more weight. Very good athlete, very productive last year. I think he had 95 tackles, over 20 tackles for loss, won a bunch of first team All-State, won a bunch of postseason awards, and had a really nice offer list. And so there was kind of a time where you're like, well, South Carolina has offered this guy, but is there anything cooking with him? But then, you know, a couple of spring visits, including the spring game, you knew he had an official visit scheduled, but decided to go ahead and shut things down. And so he plays with some violence, Wes. Actually could have played offensive line or defensive line in college. The Gamecocks have liked him as a defensive lineman. And they feel like he's, you know, we'll use the word again, twitchy, athletic. You know, they feel like there's a pretty good canvas with Caleb Williams.
No doubt. So a nice pickup there. And again, like I said, position of need. He's a high 3-star type guy. We'll see if he can kind of move up a little bit with the senior year. I think Charles Power and those guys do a fantastic job, Chris, of continuing to keep the evaluation process going and staying on top of watching how guys develop during the final months leading up to their senior year. And then, of course, their senior year and beyond. But yeah, this thing has momentum. We'll see if they can keep it going moving forward. And no word yet on Kendall Daniels and his decision. We all thought it was going to be Sunday afternoon, their announcement. We'll certainly keep an eye on that on Gamecock Central. And Chris, before we get out of here, man, real quick, if you haven't done your taxes yet, you probably don't even know the word because you didn't do your taxes yet, but taxiety, you're probably dealing with it.
It's a thing for you. And
get it cured, 803-462-5576, right, Chris?
That's right. That's the number. Two locations out in Irmo. Larry, our guy, does an outstanding job. Actually just texted with him today. He's taking care of us. He can take care of you as well. He can help you avoid taxiety, whether it's filing for you. At this point, you might have some other things to take care of, Wes. He can help you with that. And he can help you plan for the future, which I think is really, really important with taxes as well.
No doubt. All right, y'all, that's going to do it. I'm sure we missed some news. Hey, South Carolina men's basketball rolling again. Jordan Butler commitment over the weekend. They've got some guys coming in this week. I mean, lots going on the men's basketball side as well. Just not time to hit it all. Of course, complete coverage, as always. You know where to find it. It's GamecockCentral.com. If you're not a subscriber, come on over. Use code SCAR1. $1, 2 months. We're going to take great care of you. For Chris, I'm Wes. We'll see you back on here, and we hope to see you all on GamecockCentral.com. Y'all have a good one.